I guess it was a bag then, Aunt Tilly said, averting her eyes. That's not important to the story. Then why are we still here? I challenged. Because I want to show you one other thing before we hop to another memory, Aunt Tilly said. Look over there. Aunt Tilly pointed toward the door we had walked through moments earlier, and my gaze landed on the other landing. He was separated from the biker group and watching the maze with keen interest. What is he doing? Aunt Tilly shrugged. I have no idea. Do you know what you were doing, Landon?
I do,
Landon confirmed, making a face.
It's not important to this story, though, so why are we watching?
Because it is important to the story, Aunt Tilly argued. I was confused. I don't understand, I said. What are you doing?
I'm just taking a breather, Landon said. Look, there's the other Aunt Tilly. She snuck out the back of the barn and is heading toward the parking lot. She's behind the other me.
That explains how she knew this happened, I said, watching as the Aunt Tilly with the bag in her hand stopped long enough to give Biker Landon a long look. She was close enough to talk to him, but they didn't speak or lock gazes.
Why are you watching me like that?
Landon asked. She's reading you, I answered, shaking my head. She's trying to read your aura. It's one of her gifts. You can tell because she always gets that I'm-going-to-fart look on her face when she does it. I swivel quickly. You read him long before I realized he was a good guy. Why didn't you tell me?
How would that have been any fun? Aunt Tilly asked. You needed to find out about Landon on your own, Bay. Technically, though, all you needed to know about him is illustrated by what he's doing now.
I turned back to the Landon watching the maze. What is he doing?
I'm waiting for you,
Landon replied, his cheeks flushing with color, when I darted a surprised look in his direction.
I wanted to make sure you got out okay. I was worried Russ might make a move on you. I was merely acting as a concerned law enforcement officer in an undercover situation.
You had a crush on me, I teased.
I did not.
Landon crossed his arms over his chest.
I thought you were pretty, but mouthy. I thought you were great to look at, but I had no idea at the time you would come to mean so much to me.
You had a crush on me, I giggled, pressing my finger into Landon's red cheek. His skin was hot. You wanted to kiss me even then. Aunt Tilly did a little jig in the space next to us. She was giddy, which was odd given the circumstances.
You wanted to kiss her, she sang out. You wanted to hug her.
I definitely want to smack you,
Landon shot back, although his expression softened when he met my gaze.
I might have had a crush on you. I definitely have a crush on you now.
Why didn't you tell me you waited around to see whether I got out of the maze okay?
Because it wasn't important, Landon answered. I was doing my job, Bay. There was no us at that point in my life. Not yet.
Yes, there was, Aunt Tilly countered. When hearts connect, there's always an us. You two connected right away. You just didn't admit you connected until much later. You were stubborn little cusses.
You knew, though, I pressed, glaring at Aunt Tilly. You could have made things easier for us.
Life isn't easy, Bay, Aunt Tilly said. You have to work through the tough stuff just as much as you have to enjoy the fun stuff. By the way, you have another memory coming up. This one is going to be a doozy. Aunt Tilly!
She was already gone, though, and Landon had a hold of my hand as two timelines careened toward imminent collision. How long would it be now?
You think I enjoy torturing my family, and I do. I enjoy torturing their enemies even more, though. That, right there, is the definition of family.
Aunt Tilly to Landon when asked why she got such a kick out of cursing her great-nieces. 17. We were back at the inn, the side door barely visible as we landed behind Aunt Tilly's favorite lilac bush. The air smelled musty as if it had rained recently, and the sun was missing from the sky.
This is lovely,
Landon said, frowning at the mud on his hands.
Why can't she do this and leave us standing up?
Because then she wouldn't have any fun, I replied. Ugh, it's so muddy and mucky. Whenever we are, it's right after a storm. You can smell it.
You say very odd things, but I love you anyway,
Landon said, causing me to smile.
Despite that, I'm running out of patience, Bay. Next time we see Aunt Tilly, I want you to grab her and shake her until she wakes up.
Why me?
Because if it's you, she's liable to curse you, and that means you might smell like bacon all weekend.
Landon answered, winking.
You know how much I love it when you smell like bacon.
I never would have guessed, I said dryly. You never mentioned it. Landon shook an accusatory finger in my direction.
Hey, if I have to listen to you and Thistle tell that story about accidentally scaring the life out of me by pretending to be ghosts that night we were drunk for the 100th time, you can listen to me wax poetic about the wondrous bacon curse.
Fine, I said, blowing out a sigh. I'm tired, too. I don't want to fight.
This isn't fighting, sweetie,
Landon corrected.
It's called communicating. You should recognize it for what it is. That's how this entire family gets their point across.
I pursed my lips. Do you consider yourself part of the family? Landon stilled as he slid a look in my direction.
I don't know. Do you consider me part of your family?
Yes. Landon smiled.
That was a really good answer,
he said.
I didn't even have to browbeat you to get it. We're making progress.
This was not the time for a deep discussion, and for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why I picked now to start one, but I had to get something off my chest. I know you think I don't trust you, but nothing could be further from the truth. I do trust you.
I know you trust me, Bay,
Landon said.
The fact that you call me when you're in trouble and refuse to lie to me even when it risks alienating family members, proved that to me a long time ago. You don't have to worry about things like that. In fact, it drives me crazy when you do.
I think everything drives you crazy at some point, I teased, wiping a muddy finger down his cheek.
You suck,
Landon said, grabbing my wrist.
If you want to get into a mud fight, though, I'm more than ready to do it. That will make you squeal and giggle. That will make me frisky. I still maintain that if we do, you know, Aunt Tilly will have no choice but to wake up because she won't be able to tolerate watching us.
If this isn't the last memory, I'll take it under consideration, I said. I'm so tired. I know it's weird to say because we're technically sleeping right now, but the first thing I want to do when we get out of this is take a shower. The second thing I want to do is go to sleep.
You're missing the part about my pot roast.
Fine, we'll take time for your pot roast, I conceded. Let's find out when we are and get this show on the road. I can't take much more of this. As much as I enjoy spending time with you, I'm starting to get this shooting pain in my head every time we jump to a new memory. That's on top of the shooting pain in my behind when we land. Landon squeezed my rear end as if testing my statement.
It feels fine to me.
You're such a pervert. I couldn't help but laugh as I shifted my eyes to search for something familiar. What I found was another Landon standing about 50 feet away on the side patio. He scuffed his feet against the stones and stared down. He looked morose. It's you. Landon followed my gaze, frowning for a few moments of careful study.
No.
It's you, I confirmed. I'd recognize that face anywhere. You need to get him to strip if you want me to recognize everything else. I wonder if I could have two Landons for a bit. That might be fun. Landon glanced around, panicked. The two Landons comment flew right over his head.
We need to get out of here, right now. We can't watch this.
Why not?
Because, no.
Landon, what's going on? I asked, brushing his hand away as he tried to wrap it around my wrist and tug me away from the inn. I'm too tired to run around. Let's just wait here and see whatever memory Jim Aunt Tilly wants to bestow upon us and then get to the next memory. We can't have many left.
Sweetie, we can't stay here.
Landon's face was plaintive.
Neither of us wants to see this. I can promise you that.
But I was dumbfounded. He legitimately seemed frightened. Sure, he'd complained, rather loudly sometimes, about a lot of the other memories. This time he looked as if he was about to lose his mind. What is it?
We have to go,
Landon said, grabbing my hand.
Trust me.
Okay, I said, giving in. Oh, look, there I am. I caught sight of my blonde head climbing the hill before Landon could distract me. It was only when I glanced between the other Landon's sullen figure and Bay's morose face that I realized what was about to happen.
Oh, no. Bay,
Landon said, his voice cracking.
I'm sorry.
You're about to walk away from me, aren't you? My heart rolled. After challenging me for the truth about my witchy heritage and coming up with less than he wanted, Landon decided to end things before they even started, because he didn't think he could handle it. He wasn't gone long, and he'd been nothing but apologetic since his return, but the memory still hurt.
Let's go, sweetie,
Landon prodded.
We can still leave.
Not if we want Aunt Tilly to let us out of here, I countered, resigned. We have to see what she wants us to see.
I don't want to see this. I really don't want you to see this.
Landon, we've already survived this, I said. It can't hurt us now.
I don't believe that,
Landon shot back.
It still hurts you, and I don't want to hurt you.
I slipped my hand in his and turned my attention to the other Bay as she closed the distance between Landon and herself. You aren't hurting me, Landon. He's hurting her.
It's the same thing.
And yet we have to watch it all the same, I said. Landon sighed as he wrapped his arm around my shoulders.
I'm going to kill Aunt Tilly when I see her again.
Get in line, I muttered. Bay pulled up short when she caught sight of the sad Landon. What are you doing here?
I knew you'd be coming up for family dinner,
he answered, maintaining a safe distance between Bay and himself. How do you know that?
Clove told me when I stopped by Hypnotic today.
Bay's shoulders sagged, almost as if expecting what was to come. An alternative Landon looked as if he wished a hole would open up and swallow him whole. I haven't seen much of you the past week, except when you had me hauled into the police department to answer questions during Twyla's big death scene, Bay said.
I'm sure that upset her.
I'm still paying for it. Bay's chest heaved, but otherwise she remained placid and calm.
I needed some time to think,
other Landon admitted. About what?
You? Your family?
You probably need more than a week, Bay said. She was buying time because she didn't want to hear what she knew he'd say. I didn't blame her.
I needed to know what happened to Ken.
The other Landon was negotiating. He was practically begging me to tell him the truth. I don't know what happened to Ken, Bay said, her tone sharp. I told you that. I saw what you saw.
But you weren't surprised.
I was in shock, Bay clarified. We were almost struck by lightning. I was processing.
But you weren't surprised.
It was like watching a television show, one I desperately wanted canceled. I don't know what you want me to say. Bay held her palms up, helpless.
I can't watch this,
Landon said.
I want to beat myself up.
Me too, I offered him a watery smile.
I know you're hiding something, Bay,
the other Landon said.
You either can't or won't tell me, though.
And what do you think I'm hiding?
It has something to do with your family,
alternative Landon replied.
And it's more than that pot field your aunt's hiding out in the woods.
You know about that?
I saw it the night I stumbled on your little ritual. I almost forgot about that night,
Landon said.
I wish we could see that horror movie instead of this one.
Even with the rampant nudity of my mother and aunts, I asked.
Yes.
Are you going to report them? Bay asked, her voice cracking.
No.
The other Landon sighed and tugged a restless hand through his hair. He still did that when upset or flustered.
I don't want to get on your Aunt Tilly's bad side. I have a feeling that wouldn't be in my best interests.
Probably not, Bay turned her attention to the sky. She was obviously fighting off tears.
I like you,
Alternative Landon said, exhaling heavily.
You're funny, you're weird, you're ridiculously loyal. You're also hiding something from me. I need you to trust me and tell me the truth.
Bay's internal struggle was obvious. She wanted to trust him, but she didn't know him well enough to risk her family. I wanted to yell to her, tell her to confide in him. That would make things better. That's not what happened, though.
You're not going to tell me, are you?
The other Landon was reaching the end. I don't have anything to tell you, Bay said blamely. I can't give you what you're looking for.
I guess not.
The duo lapsed into uncomfortable silence, and I took the opportunity to rest my head on Landon's shoulder. It's okay, I whispered.
It's not, but it will be,
Landon replied.
It's almost over now.
I thought I heard voices.
Aunt Tilly appeared on the patio behind Landon, although her eyes were fixed on Bay.
Aunt Tilly?
The other Landon greeted her with a wary countenance.
Are you coming in for dinner?
Aunt Tilly's question was pointed. She already knew the answer, but she wanted him to say it. She wanted him to admit he was leaving. Clove and Thistle wandered out to the patio after Aunt Tilly, watching the situation unfold with unveiled interest.
Not tonight,
the other Landon said, forcing a smile in Bay's direction.
Maybe some other night. I have some things to think about. I have some things to do.
Well, you should go do your important things, then, Aunt Tilly said, crossing her arms over her chest. We don't want anyone here who doesn't want to be here.
The depressed Landon met Aunt Tilly's heavy gaze.
I'm going.
Aunt Tilly took a step toward him, never letting her gaze waver from his face.
And remember, we may forgive, but we never forget.
Despite the horrible scene, Landon chuckled.
I thought she was trying to kill me in my sleep.
I'm sure she was thinking about ways to do just that before you came back, I said. Don't worry about it. She likes you now, even if you are the man. Aunt Tilly grabbed Bay's hand and started pulling her away from Landon. Poor Bay. She wanted to look at Landon. She wanted to beg him to stay. She didn't either. Instead, she focused on Aunt Tilly.
Stranger things have happened, Aunt Tilly said, adopting a soothing tone. Don't worry, dear. He'll be back. He's a man. They have to figure things out on their own. And because he's a man, it will take him twice as long as it would take a woman.
Bay didn't look convinced. How can you be sure?
If he's not, I'll curse him until he wishes he made the right decision from the beginning.
Aunt Tilly's answer was simple.
They always come back, dear. We're like a fine wine. We're addictive, and he's already addicted. He won't know until he starts to go through withdrawal. It won't take him long, though.
I hope it hurts, Thistle said grimly.
It will, Aunt Tilly promised. You can be sure of that.
The other Landon was halfway down the hill, his head hanging low. He glanced back twice, but Bay was already gone. The real Landon and I were the only ones left.
I am addicted to you, Bay,
Landon said, and when I risked a glance at him, I found his eyes swimming in tears.
I'm so sorry.
You're not to blame, I said. Neither one of us was to blame in this situation. I didn't know you well enough to tell you the entire truth. And you didn't know me well enough not to think I was crazy. Landon barked out a hoarse laugh.
I'm still sorry.
I leaned forward and rested my head against his chest. I'm sorry, too.
You don't have anything to be sorry about,
Landon said.
I should have had faith in you. My heart kept telling me to stay. My head is dumb sometimes, though.
I like your head, I said, pressing my eyes shut. As the colors started blurring, I want to go home.
We're going home,
Landon vowed.
If I have to track down Aunt Tilly myself and strangle her until she gives in, we're going home. Enough is enough.
People talk about revenge as if it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. If people don't fear you, you're not doing your job right. I'm the best employee in the world for a reason. It's because I never skimp on revenge. Aunt Tilly explaining to Bay why fear is better than respect in the workplace. 18. We arrived on the kitchen stools moments later, my head still pressed against Landon's chest. It was almost as if Aunt Tilly was doing us a kindness. Well, for her, that is. When she gave us a soft landing after the gut-wrenching prior memory.
Oh, good. We're in the kitchen.
Landon said, frowning when he found himself staring into my mother's troubled eyes.
Hi, Winnie. Can you see me?
Mom went about stuffing cabbage rolls as if no one else was in the room.
Guess that answers that question.
Landon said, pressing a kiss to my forehead.
Are you okay?
I'm fine, Landon, I said, shaking my head. I already knew that happened. I didn't forget it.
That doesn't mean we needed to see it again,
Landon complained.
We need to find Aunt Tilly. I'm done with this.
I reached across the counter and retrieved a strip of bacon from the plate there. I wordlessly handed it to him as a peace offering. In my head, I knew this wasn't my fault. My poor heart, though, couldn't help but flop with guilt. He deserved better than this. Landon took the bacon and offered me a genuine smile.
Do you think I can really eat this?
There's no harm in trying, I replied. You missed out on your cake earlier. Landon bit into the bacon, sighing happily as he began to chew. Good? Landon nodded, his grin widening. He could bounce back faster than almost anyone. I love that about him. I grabbed the plate and slid it in front of him so he could munch, and focused on my mother. Winnie Winchester can be frightening when she wants to be. She's formidable. And if you ask my aunts, they would call her bossy. She is bossy. We're all bossy in our own way. There was nothing frightening about my mother now, though. Now she looked terrified. Do we know anything yet? Twyla asked, walking into the kitchen with her hands clasped in front of her. Is there any word? Mom shook her head. She's still missing. When is this? I asked, confused. It has to be after you left, but before now. Who was missing?
I think you are,
Landon said, his mouth full of bacon. I considered correcting his table manners, but that was so out of the realm of necessity right now. I pushed the thought out of my mind.
I think this is when you fell off the horse and were knocked out.
Oh, Floyd, the pesky poltergeist, I grumbled. I hated that douche.
Me too,
Landon said. Bay will be fine. Aunt Tilly sat in a chair in the corner. I didn't see her the first time I scanned the room because she was so quiet. She was never quiet. That had to explain how I overlooked her. She's a Winchester. She's tough. You don't know that, Mom said, situating a stuffed cabbage roll in a cookie sheet. The last time anyone saw her, she was on a horse. The horse spooked and took off. It showed up back at the barn 2 hours ago. Bay is nowhere to be found. She could be dead for all we know. You have such an upbeat way of looking at life, Aunt Tilly deadpanned. Mom was generally the picture of patience when it came to dealing with Aunt Tilly, except for those rare times when she completely lost it and threatened to join the circus. So when she slammed her hands on the counter, it took everyone by surprise. My daughter is missing, Aunt Tilly, she seethed. It might not be important to you, but it's important to me. Did I say it wasn't important? Aunt Tilly challenged, furrowing her brow. No. Then don't put words in my mouth, Aunt Tilly snapped. I have faith Bay is fine because I know she's strong. You're sitting here thinking the worst before we have any reason to believe anything of the sort. Stop being such a defeatist. Stop telling me what to do, Mom exploded. Okay, Twyla said, wrapping an arm around Mom's waist. I think I need some air. Why don't we go for a walk outside? I have to stick close to the phone, Mom argued. When we get news on Bay. I'm here by the phone, Aunt Tilly said. I'll answer it. Unless you're busy plotting world domination, Mom shot back. Wow, Take a pill, Winnie, Aunt Tilly ordered. Bay will be fine. Any second now, Landon is going to walk into the room with his chest puffed out, as if he discovered gold or something, and say he found her. Then he's going to expect us to fill him full of food and fawn all over him.
Hey, Landon protested, his mouth dropping open. I don't do any of that.
I handed him another slice of bacon. Shh, I find this fascinating.
That's because we're really not in it,
Landon said.
That makes it easier for us to watch.
Hey, after the last memory, this one is a breeze, I said. Now, eat your bacon and let me listen. I want to see whether Mom puts the fear of the goddess in Aunt Tilly.
Fine,
Landon said, biting into his bacon.
This is really good. Do you want some?
I'll wait for real food.
Winnie, let me take you outside,
Twyla prodded.
I promise we'll find Bay. You'll feel better when you get some air.
I don't want air, Mom hissed. I want Bay back in this house right now.
The kitchen door swung open, and another Landon walked into the room. His long hair was out of place, and he looked haunted. I glanced at my Landon and found he didn't seem surprised by his appearance.
Did you find Bay? Mom asked.
No,
the other Landon gritted out.
We can't find any sign of her. Chief Terry and Marcus are still out there, but it's getting dark and they say they can only keep looking for another 5 minutes.
But a tear slipped down Mom's face. She could be dead.
She's not dead, the other Landon insisted. She's lost.
Come on, Winnie, Twyla said, pulling Mom toward the door. Let's get some air.
I watched Twyla practically wrestle my mother outside, the door slamming behind them, before turning my full attention to the grim Landon standing on the other side of the counter. He didn't even glance in the direction of the bacon. This is really serious, I said. There's bacon right there, and you're not even grabbing for it.
No one wants to eat when the person they love is missing,
Landon said, grabbing another slice of bacon. You're eating, and I'm missing, I pointed out.
No, my bae already came home after scaring the life out of me. His bae is out there somewhere.
What's he thinking?
That he should have taken better care of her,
Landon answered. Oh, Landon, I grabbed his hand. I was fine. Well, I wasn't fine. I had been thrown by a horse and knocked unconscious. Then I witnessed a horrible poltergeist play. Then I had to walk through the woods for what felt like forever to get to the Dandridge. The good news is that I'm probably already on my way home, I continued. I don't see Thistle. That's probably because she's picking me up.
He doesn't know that,
Landon said, inclining his chin in his doppelganger's direction.
He's wondering whether he lost you for good. He's wondering whether they'll ever find you. He's wondering whether you're wandering alone and somehow got amnesia. Or someone took you. Or maybe even whether you're dead and his heart is about to break.
There's that poet thing again, I said, rubbing his cheek.
Landon offered me a warm smile.
He's about to get lucky. I still thank whatever power is out there that I got lucky that day. Things could have gone a heck of a lot worse.
I leaned over so I could rub my nose against his cheek. Even though Bay is out there and she's really ticked off because she was thrown from a horse and no one seems to care, she knows you're looking for her. She's worried that you're worried.
I know,
Landon said, kissing the tip of my nose.
Surprisingly, this memory doesn't bother me as much as the last one, even though the stakes are much higher.
Why do you think that is?
Watch and see,
Landon said, pointing toward the chair where Aunt Tilly sat. She looked troubled, almost as if she couldn't properly express her worry until she was sure Mom was gone and couldn't bear witness to it. The desperately worried Landon next to the sink was another thing entirely.
Do you think she's dead? Aunt Tilly asked.
No.
Do you think she'll die if we don't find her tonight?
No.
The other Landon gripped the towel on the edge of the sink so hard his knuckles turned white. Aunt Tilly's questions obviously bothered him, but he refused to lose his temper.
Do you blame yourself? Aunt Tilly asked.
The other Landon swiveled quickly, fury on his face. When he saw Aunt Tilly's sympathetic eyes, though, his anger fled as his shoulders sank.
I should have been with her.
You can't be with her every moment of every day, Aunt Tilly countered. Bay is an adult. She can take care of herself. That was true when you met her, and even though it seems like you have to run around and save her every 5 minutes, that's not the case.
Are you telling me you're not worried about her?
I'm very worried about her, Aunt Tilly replied. The thing is, if it was Clove out there, I would cast 100 spells to find her, because Clove is more likely to end up dead in a ditch than the other two. If it was Thistle out there, I would let her spend the night thinking about all the horrible things she's done, she continued. She could use a little humility, that one. She's a rotten pain in the behind most days, but she wouldn't die in a ditch.
And Bay?
Bay will be fine, Aunt Tilly replied. I have faith that Bay can do anything she sets her mind to. I know you do, too. It's hard to be the one left behind, the one waiting. But she'll be home soon.
I hope so,
the other Landon said, rubbing the back of his neck.
I just really need to find her. I don't know these woods. We have no idea what direction the horse ran. If she's out there, why hasn't she called?
Maybe her cell phone doesn't work where she's at, Aunt Tilly suggested. Maybe it broke when she fell. Maybe she's doing something else, or helping someone else, or even on her way here right now. We simply don't know what's going on.
I can't take this.
I glanced at my Landon, who appeared to be watching the scene with blasé detachment. I knew otherwise, though. You know I'm okay, right? I'll be here soon. Landon chuckled as he reached over and captured my hand.
I know. That was a terrifying few hours, though. You knew where you were. You knew you were okay. Me, though, I felt helpless. That's not something I like feeling.
No one likes feeling like that, I said. I'll be back soon, though. I promise. Maybe I should go out and find Bay, Aunt Tilly offered, climbing out of her chair. I think everyone would feel better if I led the search party. The other Landon made a face that would have been comical under different circumstances.
Really? You want me to let you wander off in the dark and find the woman I... my Bay? I think that's the queen of bad ideas.
You don't know, Aunt Tilly shot back. I'm good in a crisis.
I'm sure you are,
Alternative Landon said, fighting to keep his tone even.
You're not leaving, though. We need you here to keep everyone together. If she doesn't come home tonight...
The sound of the back door opening caused everyone to shift in that direction. Mom and Twyla strode in, Marnie close on their heels. What did Thistle say exactly? Mom asked, her face flushed. Did she say Bay was okay?
Bay?
The other Landon's face brightened with hope.
Did you find Bay?
She called, and Thistle's on her way to pick her up at the Dandridge, Marnie answered. I don't know a lot of details. Bay was thrown from her horse and was confused when she came to. She's okay, though. She'll be here soon. She's going to need food, Mom said, wrapping her apron around her waist. She's probably starving. There's no malady so bad, or terror so large for that matter, that food can't make it better in the Winchester world.
That's a good idea, Marnie said. We have her favorite cake. I just need to frost it. We have her other favorite foods, too.
Yes, that will make everything perfect, Aunt Tilly deadpanned. I'm sure stuffing her full of food will make her forget she was thrown from a horse and woke up alone.
You're not helping,
other Landon snapped, extending a finger.
Whatever you're plotting over there, keep it to yourself. For now, this is about Bay. If they want to cook her favorite foods, who are you to argue?
Aunt Tilly's mouth dropped open. What did you just say to me? We made your favorite, too, Mom said, glancing around. Oh, here. We made a big batch of bacon for you. Mom grabbed the plate from in front of my Landon and shoved it in the direction of the other Landon. He took it, but didn't immediately eat. I swear there was more bacon on that plate a few minutes ago, Twyla said. Did you eat it, Aunt Tilly? Yes, I've decided to be a bacon thief in my off time, Aunt Tilly said. She was back to her snarky form. I didn't think we had enough other things going on today, so I decided to add a second career.
What's your first? Marnie challenged.
Annoying you, Aunt Tilly replied.
Well, your ace is at that,
Marnie said, unruffled. I'll get the cake and...
The sound of a car honking at the front of the inn drew everyone's attention, and they all rushed toward the door. I could hear Landon's family. They were staying at the inn so they could get to know me. They were excitedly talking in the other room.
Bay, other Landon said, yanking the door open. Everyone stay calm. I'll get her, and the rest of you wait here.
Not on your life, Mom said, following him out of the room. You're not the boss of me. And so it's a happy ending, I said. Once it was just the two of us, or three of us, again. Aunt Tilly remained in her chair, her gaze trained on the door. Finally, she shifted her eyes in our direction. That's when I realized she could see me.
Seriously? Could you see us the whole time?
Of course. It's my mind.
We want out of here now,
Landon demanded, swiveling on the stool and hopping down. He purposefully moved in Aunt Tilly's direction.
I don't want one word of a complaint from you, Aunt Tilly. Enough is enough. We're tired, and we want to go home.
I'm not keeping you here, Aunt Tilly protested. You're doing that yourselves. You can leave whenever you want.
Not without you, we can't, I argued.
That's your problem, Aunt Tilly said, glowering at Landon as he reached for her arm. I'm not ready to go.
The room tilted, tossing me from the stool. I held my hands out and braced for impact, but I didn't hit the linoleum as I expected. Instead, we shifted into another memory. And I vowed this would be the last one, no matter what.
Sometimes a lie is just a different version of the truth. When people accuse you of lying, it's usually because they don't like what you say. That's what you're doing now. I always tell the truth, except when I'm lying. Are you confused enough to pretend you forgot what we were talking about?
Aunt Tilly to Winnie when accusations of lying started flying. 19.
I am going to wring that woman's neck!
Landon bellowed a few minutes later as he picked twigs and branches from his hair. Aunt Tilly was feeling vindictive this time, so she dropped us in a bush. Not just any bush, mind you, but a blackberry thicket, complete with thorns. My arms looked as if I'd been in a fight with 30 cats, and lost.
She's playing a game, I said. There's no other explanation.
The first memories were hard for her. She didn't want to leave because she got to see Grandma Ginger and Uncle Calvin. These last handful, though, they've been all about us. They're for our benefit.
What benefit are we getting?
Landon asked, grabbing a twig from my hair.
I'll admit, seeing your birth was amazing. I loved little Bay beyond words. A lot of the rest of this has been torture.
I don't think she means it to be torture, I argued. I think she's trying to show us something.
Yeah, her middle finger.
The bubbling laughter surprised even me. I let it come, though, bending over at the waist to catch my breath when the fit subsided. When I straightened, I found Landon staring at me as if I'd grown another head.
What?
It's not funny, Bay, Landon said. I'm trying so hard to be a good sport. But come on, we've been through enough. Watching me break your heart for a second time almost gutted. You were brave, and I appreciate that. But I saw your face,
he continued.
It hurt you all over again, and that's not fair. We're here because of her. She owes us a way out of the cesspool she calls a mind.
I had no comfort to offer, so instead I gave him the only thing I could, a lame apology. I'm so sorry for all of this.
You didn't do this, Bay,
Landon said, pulling me in for a hug. He rested his cheek against my forehead.
Stop apologizing for that woman's actions. I can take a lot, but I can't take that.
We have to be close to the end, Landon, I offered. The last memory was, what, 4 months ago?
3 months and 20 days.
I stilled. That's pretty specific.
I thought I lost you, Bay. It's not like I can forget it.
I tilted my chin up and smiled at him.
This is not funny.
You really do love me, don't you? I was almost giddy with warmth as it washed over me.
Of course I love you,
Landon shot back.
That's nothing to smile about right now, though.
This has to be the last one, Landon, I said. She wants us to see something else.
Oh, yeah? What?
I don't know, I said, turning my head when I heard the sound of whistling. I recognized Marcus, Thistle's boyfriend, right away. He had a bag in his hand and was practically skipping down the path that leads from the overlook. It's Marcus. Landon shifted so he could see his friend. They'd become close after spending so many nights at the guest house. Now that it was only Thistle and me, the odds weren't stacked against them like they were when it was 3-on-2. Don't tell Thistle that, by the way. She still thinks she has the upper hand.
Hey, guys,
Marcus said, nodding in our direction.
What are you doing out here? I thought you were staying in bed at the guest house all day.
Well, that was interesting. This appeared to be an interactive memory. Unfortunately, our only tip to the time frame was Marcus's hint that Landon and I were spending the day in bed. That could be almost any Sunday.
We decided to go for a walk,
Landon said, resting his hand on the small of my back.
It's such a nice summer day.
Uh-huh,
Marcus said, slowing his pace. He's not known for his verbosity. Pulling answers from him wouldn't be easy.
It is summer, right?
Landon asked.
Last time I checked,
Marcus replied, narrowing his eyes.
Is something I don't know about going on? I swear I saw you guys 20 minutes ago, and you were still in your pajamas.
Nothing is going on with us, I said. What's going on with you?
Nothing.
Where are you going?
Landon asked, suspiciously eyeing the bag in Marcus's hand. Marcus helped Aunt Tilly with her pot garden, so Landon was naturally wary about what he might be carrying.
Please tell me that's not marijuana.
It's not marijuana,
Marcus said, not missing a beat.
Are you just saying that because I told you to say it?
Marcus shrugged.
Maybe.
Something was off about this memory. I didn't see Aunt Tilly, and the pot field was magically cloaked. We were a good 100 feet from it, and I'd yet to see her telltale gardening hat when I scanned the area. Marcus, where do you think we are?
Why are you asking him that?
Landon challenged. Why did you ask him if he was carrying marijuana? I asked. We're in Aunt Tilly's mind. He could be carrying a dead body, and there's nothing you could do about it.
Why would I be carrying a dead body?
Marcus questioned.
Why are you carrying pot?
Landon shot back.
I never said it was pot,
Marcus protested. Hey, both of you, shut up, I ordered. It's been a really long day and I'm exhausted. Something odd is going on here, and I think Marcus knows what it is.
I don't know a thing,
Marcus said, continuing down the path.
I never know anything. That's the way I like it.
Landon and I fell into step behind him, linking fingers and watching him amble in the direction of the field. That's not true, Marcus, I called to his back. You know a lot more than you ever let on. You're good at keeping secrets. That's why Aunt Tilly lets you help with her pot field.
I guess that's true,
Marcus admitted.
But I still don't know what you're talking about right now.
See, I don't think that's true, I said, increasing my pace. You're leading us somewhere, aren't you? Where?
I'm going to help Aunt Tilly,
Marcus answered.
I have no idea where you're going.
We're going with you.
Well, this'll be fun.
Marcus was abnormally cheerful for a guy leading an FBI agent into an illegal situation. This wasn't a memory. Well, probably not a full memory, at least. This was something else. Aunt Tilly waited in her garden as we approached. I could see her hat as she bent over to study a plant. She didn't look perturbed when she realized Marcus wasn't alone.
So this is the infamous pot field, huh?
Landon glanced around. I'd forgotten he couldn't see it because of Aunt Tilly's wards.
I saw it once when I first met you. I was going to go back and look around, but she hid it soon after.
She's always hidden it, I countered. I don't think you saw her field like you think you did.
I know I saw her field,
Landon said.
I don't know why I could see it that day and not the others, but I swear I saw it.
I wonder why.
It was probably a test,
Marcus offered, dropping the bag next to Aunt Tilly.
She let me see the field once, too. That was before we started working together. I think she wanted to see if I would rat her out to the cops.
Is that true, Aunt Tilly? I asked. Did you let Landon see the field to test him?
I'm guessing she wanted to know whether I'd arrest her,
Landon said.
When I didn't, she hid it away because she knew she would tick me off enough to arrest her eventually.
I snorted. That sounded just like Aunt Tilly. Aunt Tilly, what are we doing here? What lesson are you teaching us now?
And it had better be the last one,
Landon added.
We're done. We want to go home.
We're tired, I supplied. I think we've been pretty good sports about all of this, despite the fact that you've shown us some horrible things.
You've shown us some wonderful things, too,
Landon said.
I appreciate them. I still want my pot roast.
You're almost done, Aunt Tilly said. You simply have to tell me what you've learned, and then I'll send you home.
We've learned you're crazy,
Landon said. You already knew that, Aunt Tilly said. What else have you learned? Was she expecting an honest answer? Was this more than a game to her? I learned that you've had to deal with a lot more than I ever understood, I volunteered. Landon slid me a sidelong glance, but remained silent. I've learned that Uncle Calvin was a wonderful man, and I wish I'd gotten to know him. I've learned that you're unbelievably loyal, and what you did to Lila that day is something I really appreciate now that I'm old enough to understand why you kept it a secret, I continued. I've learned that you get a bad rap every single day. Sometimes you deserve it. Sometimes you don't. The days you don't deserve it, though, you still embrace it, I said. You don't want people to know you have a good heart, so you hide it under your curmudgeonly exterior. I've learned you've gone through really terrible times and come out the other side.
That was very lovely, Bay, Aunt Tilly said, rolling her eyes. What did you learn about yourself?
Oh, man,
Landon muttered.
I knew this was going to be turned around on us.
I bit my lip, unsure how to answer.
I'll tell you what we've learned,
Landon offered.
We've learned that we had to go through all the bad times because, no matter what, the good times outweigh them. We've learned that we're going to be happy because we've already been happy. We've learned that bad things happen to everyone, and love will get us through them.
He continued.
We've also learned that we don't want to dwell on the bad stuff, because the good stuff is so much better.
That's closer, Aunt Tilly said. You're still missing the point.
Son of a bitch!
Landon lifted his head and stared at the sun. We've learned that we love you and can never be happy without you, I said. We've learned you're always right, and we're rarely right when we argue with you. We've learned that you've had a wonderful life, and you've shared it with us, so we're blessed.
Very good, Bay, Aunt Tilly beamed.
We've also learned that you're feeding off us, and we're not going to take it for 1 second longer, I snapped, grabbing her arm and taking her by surprise. Now enough is enough, Aunt Tilly. We want to go home, and you're coming with us. Aunt Tilly fought to wrench her arm away, but I dug in with my fingernails and refused to let her.
Let me go! No! Marcus, you have to help me,
Aunt Tilly shouted, digging in her heels and trying to find enough leverage to pull away from me. I was determined, though. I was not going to let her go. To my surprise, when I risked a glance at Marcus to see whether he'd intervene, I found my gaze locking with Uncle Calvin's. He shot me a sympathetic smile as he moved closer. What are you doing here? I asked, dumbfounded. You shouldn't be in this part of the timeline.
This isn't a memory, Bay,
Calvin said.
This is my Tilly being a stubborn mule. I used to find it cute back then. It's not so cute now.
Definitely not, Grandma Ginger said, appearing at Landon's side. Tilly, this is undignified. Let Bay take you home. I added my other hand to Aunt Tilly's wrist so I wouldn't lose her and focused on my grandmother. I've heard stories about you. I know this isn't real, but it's still nice to meet you.
You've met me before, Bay, Ginger said, offering me a bright smile. Only you didn't realize it was me.
When? How?
In your dreams, sweet girl, Ginger said, laughing. I've watched all of you grow up. I've watched you fight with each other, and your mothers, and Tilly. I've watched you cry. I've watched your heart break.
She cast a sympathetic look in Landon's direction as he lowered his eyes.
I've also watched your heart soar as you figured out your place in this world.
We both have,
Calvin said.
You wouldn't be the woman you are today without Tilly's magic.
And her unfortunate cursing habit, Ginger added. The thing is, Tilly, you're not done back there. You can't stay here. You don't belong here.
I'm old, Aunt Tilly snapped. I can decide where I want to stay.
But we're not really here,
Calvin offered.
We're real in the sense that we were part of your life. But Ginger and I are in another place. You can't access it from here. If you stay here, you'll waste away in that hospital bed until your body finally gives out.
That's not going to happen anytime soon, Ginger said. Think about it, Tilly. We'll always be waiting for you. We're not going anywhere.
You don't have to go anywhere yet either,
Calvin prodded.
You could have a lot of good years left.
You could live to see another generation of Winchesters, Ginger added, smiling at Landon and me. They could be just as mouthy and ready for trouble as the last lot of them. You don't want to miss that.
They don't need me, Aunt Tilly spat. They're grown. They're done.
We're not done, I argued. We're almost done. We still need you to finish the job you started.
If you don't come with us, I'm going to drink all of your wine and burn that pot field,
Landon threatened.
Bay will help me, because you won't be able to stop her. Then I'm going to tell everyone in town that you were weak and we beat you.
My mouth dropped open. I couldn't believe he was taunting her.
You can't let that happen, Tilly,
Calvin said.
Do you want to be beaten by the man?
I realized what they were doing, and on an absurd level, I knew that Calvin and Ginger's appearance was a way for Aunt Tilly to talk herself into returning home. She wanted to go with me. I knew she did. She was torn, though.
I won't let you go, I said, instinctively kicking out and slamming my foot into her shin.
Bay!
Landon was shocked. Aunt Tilly's legs gave out, and she crumpled to her knees.
I'm going to curse you to within an inch of your life!
Oh, I vote for the bacon curse,
Landon said, slipping his finger through my belt loops. He sensed another shift. I let go of Aunt Tilly's wrist long enough to grab the front of her shirt.
Take us home!
The colors began swirling, and I jerked my head to the left and right, wondering whether this would be the last time I'd see Calvin and Ginger.
Good job, Bay,
Calvin said, smiling.
I'll see you one day, too, but it won't be for a long while.
I'll see you in your dreams, Ginger said.
Until we meet again,
Calvin called out. Then everything went black.
I love you all. I don't say that enough, but it's true. Well, some of the time. Now get out of my face. Togetherness is great and all, but you're all starting to chafe my butt, and there's a bottle of wine with my name on it.
Aunt Tilly spends quality time with the family on Christmas. 20. I was falling. Even before I opened my eyes, I could see it. In the split second before I opened my eyes, I saw the hospital's linoleum floor rushing toward me, and then Landon reached down and caught me before I made contact.
I've got you,
Landon said, grunting as he lifted me toward his chest and settled me back on his lap.
That was close, huh?
I laughed despite myself. You always manage to catch me.
That's what I'm here for,
Landon said, kissing my nose.
Oh, criminy,
Aunt Tilly muttered from the bed, her eyes accusatory when they landed on me.
You two are sickening in life and in memories.
Aunt Tilly, I said, exhaling heavily as I climbed off Landon's lap. You're here.
Of course I'm here, Aunt Tilly snorted. Where else would I be?
I don't know, I answered. I was worried. Instinctively, I reached forward and grabbed her hand, happy to see there were no marks on her wrist from where I grabbed her and refused to let go. Instead of pulling away, Aunt Tilly offered me a weak smile and squeezed my hand.
That's your problem, Bay, she said, collecting herself. You worry too much.
I guess we share that problem,
Landon said, moving in behind me. We were back in our hospital scrubs, not that we ever really left them.
How are you feeling?
Like I got hit by a tree, Aunt Tilly replied, gingerly touching the bandage on the side of her head. How long do I have to stay here? I want to go home.
I think we should let the doctor decide that, I said.
Aunt Tilly? I jerked my head to the door when I heard Mom's voice, giving Aunt Tilly's hand a squeeze before releasing it to make room for distraught family members circling around the bed. We were so worried. Bay and Landon went in the ambulance with you, but we got here as fast as we could, Mom said, hurrying to Aunt Tilly's side. The roads are a mess, Thistle said, locking eyes with Aunt Tilly. We almost died getting here. I hope you're happy.
Thistle, Twyla chided, coughing the back of her daughter's head. Your great-aunt is injured. She could have died, or been in a coma or something. Treat her with some respect.
Thistle had the grace to look abashed. Don't you dare treat me in any other way than you normally would, Aunt Tilly ordered. I'm fine. A little head bump isn't going to slow me down.
What did the doctor say? Marnie asked, glancing at me. She doesn't have brain damage, does she?
Thistle opened her mouth to say something snotty, but Twyla silenced her with a murderous look.
You can let some of them go, Thistle, Twyla said.
The doctor hasn't said anything yet, I offered, choosing my words carefully as I glanced at Aunt Tilly.
What time is it?
It's a little after 7, Mom said, sending me an odd look. We just saw you an hour and a half ago. How can you have lost track of time?
It seems longer to me, I said.
Those two fell asleep, Aunt Tilly volunteered. They curled up in Landon's lap like a teenager, and then they proceeded to snore for a half hour. It was extremely annoying, especially when you have a head wound.
Why would you do that? Mom asked, slapping my arm. You were supposed to be taking care of her.
She did take care of me, Aunt Tilly said, winking. Only she did it with Landon's hand on her butt.
I'm going to throw a bucket of ice water on you two if you don't stop doing things like this in public, Mom warned, shaking her head.
I locked gazes with Landon, a myriad of questions fighting for supremacy.
Let it go, Bay, Landon whispered. Now isn't the time. If you tell them what happened now, they'll all freak out. Just let it go.
I reluctantly nodded and leaned into him, forcing a smile, when Dr. Walter Luckin stepped into the room. He was already shaking his head.
There are far too many people in here for my patient to get the rest she needs, Luckin said.
We won't stay long, Mom said. We have dinner waiting at the inn.
Pot roast,
Landon said, pumping his fist and causing me to giggle. We're going to take shifts staying with Aunt Tilly, Twyla said.
I have the first one.
Aunt Tilly groaned. Goddess, help me.
Very funny,
Twyla said, fussing over Aunt Tilly's blanket.
How is she?
Clove asked, barreling into the room with her boyfriend Sam at her heels.
I didn't get your message about Aunt Tilly's accident until we got to the inn, because of the spotty coverage due to the storm. Is she okay?
I'm fine, Aunt Tilly said as Clove released a relieved sigh. Don't go being a kvetch. I can't take it in my delicate condition.
You can't have it both ways, Mom chided. Either you're fine or you're delicate.
Which is it? It depends on what I want at any given time, Aunt Tilly replied. You'll live with my whims.
We always do, Marnie said, grinning. The good news is that Tilly's head wound doesn't appear to be too serious,
Luckin said.
We need to keep her overnight for observation, but you should be able to take her home tomorrow.
That's a relief, Twyla said.
Says who? Thistle challenged. Doctor, don't you think you could keep her for a couple of days? You know, just to make sure and all.
Luckin laughed.
I think she'll do better at home under the watchful eye of her family,
he said.
For now, though, only one of you can stay. I guess that's Twyla, so everyone else say the goodbyes.
I silently watched as my family moved to the bed and hugged Aunt Tilly. Even Thistle offered her a stiff embrace and a few choice words.
I'm going to make you pay for scaring me like this, old woman, Thistle promised. You have 3 days until war is declared.
I look forward to it, Aunt Tilly said, locking gazes with me as I moved forward. I leaned over her bed and gave her a hug, staying close long enough to whisper something only she could hear.
We're going to have a talk when you get home.
I'm not looking forward to that, Aunt Tilly grumbled.